So a few months ago, Erica came to me with the idea that we should try the Whole 30. That it was time to kind of look at our eating and health, dieting, all that type of stuff, and learn to really eat healthy. And so she said, let's do it for 1 month, 30 days, the Whole 30. Now, I know some of you have tried it, if you've done it. If you are not familiar with the Whole 30, here's how it goes. That you eat a lot of fruit, a lot of vegetables, and a lot of protein, and no sugar, and no sweets, and no carbs, and no dairy, and pretty much anything else that tastes good. You don't get to do it. Now, you are allowed to drink coffee, unless that was just like the modified version that you told me to try to sell me on it. I don't know. But you were allowed to do that. Otherwise, it would have been a no-go from the beginning for me. But so, you know, pretty much everything that you love, you are not allowed to eat except for meat, which you can eat a lot of. And so for a full month, and so we did this for the whole month, and we were working at it, and it required us to, you know, completely buy different food and cook different meals, and, you know, mostly had a good time at it. It got a little tough, you know, and especially someone invites you over for dinner, and, you know, we decided that we weren't going to be, you know, mean about it, and we, you know, a couple of times we were kind of forced to, but we were forced to cheat on that, but we didn't. We did really, really good, and so we got to the end of the month, and we began to talk and say, okay, this has been really good for us. It's a really good reset to kind of think through what we need and what we don't need. We discovered that you crave whatever you're eating. And so if you eat a lot of fruit, you tend to enjoy the fruit and the taste of the fruit, and so you crave more fruit. If you eat a lot of cookies, you like the cookies, you crave more cookies. And so it was a good reset in a lot of ways. But at the same time, we said this is not, you know, this is not going to be a long-term thing because it's very, very, you know, very, very strict. And so we talked and said, well, what are we going to keep? What are the best parts of this that we'll keep long-term? And one of the things we discovered was our breakfast pattern. So now for breakfast, for pretty much every day of the last 40 years, I'm a big breakfast eater, and I love breakfast because, you know, I believe in like starting the day with a good start and getting your metabolism going. So pretty much every day for the last 40 years, I would go to the pantry, get out a box of cereal, and have a bowl of cereal for breakfast and kickstart the day that way. And my favorite cereal is Raisin Bran. Because it's healthy for you and it tastes good because it's, you know, raisin and bran, and then they coat it with sugar, and so it's, you know, tastes good as well. A couple of years ago, we discovered a new kind of cereal, a new kind of Raisin Bran Crunch. Some of you found it too. Yeah. So you take the crunchiness that is granola, add it to the Raisin Bran, add one more coating of sugar on the top of all of it to hold it all together. Otherwise, it falls apart and you wouldn't want that. And you get extra tasty, crunchy, and some bran and some raisins, and everybody's happy. Except all that sugar and the carbs that go with it didn't really fit in the Whole 30. And so we had gone the whole month, you know, not having cereal for breakfast. And we'd have a lot of eggs, a lot of bananas, because we like eggs and bananas. And we realized something, though. We get to about 10:30, 11 in the morning, and normally when we would kind of have the sugar crash, when all the sugar from breakfast wears off and need a little something, the sugar crash wasn't there. We were able to continue on full strength right up and through lunch. And so he said, this is a really good part of it. And so what are we going to do long term? We're going to keep the breakfast routine. And so we changed completely our breakfast eating habits. And so we bought a whole bunch of eggs. Like, we went from getting eggs one dozen at a time to buying the 5 dozen pack that's wrapped in cellophane and buying 2 to 3 bundles of bananas every time. So we'd always have lots of eggs, lots of bananas. And so for the last, you know, several weeks since we've done it, we've continued every single morning, eggs, bananas, and coffee. And it's worked. And it's been really great. Well, then we went on Thanksgiving vacation and we flew back, spent some time with family and friends, did pretty good with, you know, keeping up with it. Came back home, and the next morning, woke up, went downstairs, opened up the refrigerator, and there were no eggs. Looked over to the counter, and there were no bananas. And what did I do? Got a bowl of Raisin Bran Crunch. Why? Because I didn't know what else to do. And I thought, you know, we talk all the time, you may have heard this, you know, you've heard the phrase before, it takes 21 days to form a new habit. I don't know if I'm not so sure about that anymore. I mean, sure, it takes 21 days before it kind of becomes a habit and you just go do it. But if it's a new habit, then why is it that it only takes one day to all of a sudden break the habit and throw the whole thing right out the window and go right back to the way we used to do it before? I'm not sure it takes 21 days to form a new habit. I think it takes 21 years to make a new habit. Or however long it takes to where you just do it all the time without falling off the wagon. Now, thankfully, the next day, or I mean like that day, Erica went to the grocery store, 5 dozen more eggs, 3 bundles more bananas. We were back, and the next morning we were back on the wagon doing well. We've continued on with it. But it for that showed me a good lesson. That for as hard as we try and as much as we do to have good, healthy habits in our lives, it doesn't take much to get us distracted, to lose that new habit. And so several weeks ago, we took 6 or 7 weeks and we talked about this idea of staying spiritually hydrated, why spending time with your Bible matters because you're spending time with God. And that it's important for us to regularly get into the Word of God, not just when we worship together in church, but on our own, in private, allowing God to speak to us in our own quiet time, our own private time. As I thought about today, I mean, I've heard so many stories of people that have shared stories of how God has moved and worked and just teaching you new things and you're growing in your spiritual life. As I thought about today, I thought, you know, we did that for 6, 7 weeks or so, and Thanksgiving came, and then Christmas came, and singing Christmas tree came, and Advent came, and Christmas distractions of everything else. I wonder if anybody maybe has struggled to keep this habit of staying in God's Word. So today, we're going to take a little time. We're going to be reminded again of why we need to stay spiritually hydrated. We're going to be encouraged by God, but also we're going to take an opportunity and be encouraged by each other. Here's what we said. Let me just kind of just review really quickly a couple of things we learned through our series. And you can get all of these. You can listen to all of them online if you go to our website or to our YouTube channel as well. You can hear the full teachings of all these. But here's kind of some of the things we discovered. That first of all, you stay spiritually hydrated when you develop a habit. In other words, to be proactive about it. If you just open up your Bible when you feel like you need it, you're already too late. But to stay spiritually hydrated is to get out ahead of it and to read your Bible and to make a habit out of it. And one of the things we've encouraged is what we call 3+1. 3 times on your own during the week in your own quiet time, and then 1 time all together where we get together in weekend worship service and we open our Bibles together. So how are you doing with that? 3 times every week. I know you may have said, well, you know, you guys stopped putting those suggested Bible readings like in the bulletin. I thought we didn't have to do that anymore. They are still available. You just have to find one, and we may put them back in the bulletin eventually here, but just right before you go out the doors of the sanctuary, right back by the sound booth, you can continue to get those. And every week, in fact, what we're doing this week is this week's Bible readings will help you to start thinking about what we're going to talk about next week. So we're going to change it up a little bit in working ahead and thinking ahead, and God's going to just kind of prime your mind and your heart for what we're going to start talking about next week. The next thing we discovered is that the reason we read the Bible is not just to learn new information, it's not just to grow in knowledge, but that it is real life change, that God is going to speak to us and he wants to put it in action in our lives, and when we activate the truth that we discover, our lives are changed by God. Then we talked about how we want to develop a hunger for God. That we don't just read the Bible only out of obligation or something that we have to do. That helps us get into the habit, but that eventually we want to develop a hunger where we look forward to that time in God's Word. Why? Because of an attitude that I'm not just learning something, but that when I am reading these words, I am hearing from God himself. That it is as if I was right there with those disciples, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing him teach me. That my time with God is just that. It is time with God. The God of the universe. As we said, when you make an appointment with God, God never no-shows. He will always show up. The question is, will I show up? We talked about how we need to grow up in our faith and take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. And that my spiritual growth is not, in the end, someone else's responsibility, but that we need to learn how to feed ourselves. And so that's why we say, on our own, we're going to pick up our Bibles. We talked about the importance of reading our Bible in community. And that it's not enough just to read it by ourselves, but also we need a church family. And we need a small group and Bible study to read it together. And so we've talked today about women's Bible studies that are just starting up. In fact, I know that Dan is getting ready to start a new Sunday school class in 2 Chronicles. You may have read 2 Chronicles before and read and felt like, what in the world? I don't even understand it. Can't even pronounce half the names in there. And I don't even know why that's in the Bible. Well, you go to Dan's class. He's going to teach you why that's in the Bible. Starts off here in a couple weeks. Talk to him about it. Why? Because we need each other. So, let me ask you again. How are you doing? Or here's an even better one. How have you grown by discovering the joy of staying hydrated, of getting into God's Word? I want us to encourage each other today. We're called to encourage each other, and that however God is teaching you, however you're growing, when you share that with someone else, you never know if someone else needs to hear exactly what you shared. Here's what a couple of people shared with us already this weekend of how they are growing in their faith, what God is doing in their lives. These are our church family members. Here's what one person said this morning. Typically, I would wake up and open my emails and routinely find myself caught up in the stress of the day. Since starting Hydrate, I have built the habit of waking up, working out, and then reading my Bible and praying. Since starting this, my daily stress level has changed dramatically. My day starts with a word from God compared to the past when it started with stress. Whoo, is that God working in a powerful way? That's something we're celebrating. Here's another one. God has called me to be the husband after God's heart, to work on my marriage daily. See what I mean about like when you get into God's Word and start talking to God, it's not just learning new information. God wants to change how we live and make better decisions and get into all of our life. Here's another one. God has helped me conquer my fear of loneliness. Digging into His Word has helped me to feel closer with Him than with anyone else. Why? Because when you open up your Bibles and spend time with the God of the universe, it changes your life. All right, here's what we get to encourage each other. Here's what I'd like us to do. On the inside of the rows, of each row, there's a little stack of white cards. Now, we may have to find them. We didn't reset all them. They might be on the other end after the first service. But look at either end, and there should be little cards that look like this. If you can find those, take those and pass them down the rows there. And I may need a couple of ushers to help out to redistribute a few of them. Anybody not have one that needs one? We've got some extras here. All right, right down here in a row right back here. There we go. Okay, there's some extras. Anybody need one? Okay, Toby and these guys need some right down here. Lauren, just to your right. There we go, they've got them. All right, everybody got a card. Who needs one? Kevin, do you have a few extras there? Can you run them up to the balcony area? All right, good. All right, everybody's got a card now. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to think, and if God has done something in your life, if He's taught you something new, if He's encouraged you in a new way, and you've taken some steps forward, He's drawn you close to Him over the last several weeks, especially through your private time with God, your quiet time with God, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to encourage us. Write just real briefly and describe what God has taught you. Maybe it's a verse one day that really spoke to you. Tell us that verse and how it really connected with your life or how you're growing, experiencing some new things with God. Take a moment, write that down, and then we're going to collect those up and read a few of them and share them with each other because we're going to celebrate what God is doing in our own church family. Well, as you write, let me just share the first word of encouragement today. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, we read the story of God's people, and in the book of Joshua, Moses has passed away, and Joshua is their new leader. And God speaks in the first chapter of Joshua to encourage him, and He says, Joshua, you're the new leader, and I'm going to do great things through you. Just like I did great things through Moses, now I'm going to do great things through you. Here's the key to success, and here's what we read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is God speaking to Joshua. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then, look at this great promise here. I love this. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Yes, God himself wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to be successful in life. And how does that come about? The promise of prospering and being successful comes as he says, Joshua, take this book of law. And he's referring to the book of law here because that's the only part of the Bible that they had at that time. But it was God revealing how he wanted them to live and his plan for their lives. And he says this, take what I have given to you and keep it on your lips. In other words, read it. Think about it. Just there. Study it all the time. And then meditate on it. In other words, think deeply about it. Not just kind of read it once and be done with it, but think about it and think about it some more and think about it a third time. And then as you have read it and you've thought about it, then live it out. Put it into action. Do what I've told you to do, and here is what you're going to experience. When you read my word, when you think about my word, when you live my word, you will be prosperous and successful. Now, here's one of the keys to that, though. If God promises success, he gets to define success, right? Well, here's the really tough one here. If God promises that we will prosper, then he gets to define what it is to prosper. A lot of times our minds often think about, you know, our bank account, and the more zeros you have on the end of the number of your bank account balance indicates the level of how much you have prospered. But the reality is there's some folks who have really large bank accounts, but they're miserable, they hate their life, their marriages and their families are falling apart, and you really wouldn't want their life, but you just want their money. They're not really successful, are they? And they're not really prospering. And so if you would allow God to define what it means to prosper and to have a successful life, well, that's what happens when you get into his word anyways. That when you fill your mind with the teaching of God, rather than every other teaching that you get from every other source of information around you, that when you allow yourself to think about the words of God, your life and your thinking and your behavior and your choices come in line with God, and you just live God's way. And since the world and you were created by God, you're living the best way there is to live, and we call that success. How does it come? He says, when you think about, you read, you meditate on, and you live out God's ways of living. Study God's word. Get into it and read it. Well, God not only promises this, the research shows it. In fact, we shared a few of the results of some of a major research project in which researchers interviewed thousands of people to see the effect that getting into God's word makes on their daily life. Here's what they found. That for people who read their Bibles four times a week or more, they find that there are 57%, the odds of getting drunk are 57% lower for them. I mean, alcoholism is a problem, right? For those who get into their Bible, it makes a difference in their life. Their odds of having trouble with alcohol, the odds drop 57%. Porn and other sexual sin is a huge problem in our culture. Guess what the research finds? Those who get into their Bible four times a week, 61% lower odds of looking at porn. How about thinking destructive thoughts? Whatever direction that may go, right? Here's what they found, that the more often followers of Jesus are in their Bible, the instances of having destructive thoughts fall. So for those who only get into their Bible maybe just none or one time a week, 28% of Christians who don't read their Bible really at all would struggle with destructive thoughts at least once a week and have those and like kind of just let those rule the day. The number drops for those who get into their Bible four times a week. In other words, the research backs up what God has already told us, that when you get into God's word, you live a life that's pleasing to God. It just affects how you live your life. You live a life that you just feel better about yourself, and it affects your relationships with other people. That's what we really want, isn't it? We want to please God. I want to feel better about life, and I want my relationships to be better. God says, you get into my word and feed yourself my word on a regular basis. That's going to happen in your life. All right, well, you've had a little bit of time to write. Here's what I'd like you to do now. Let's take your cards, and if we can share those and encourage each other about what God has been doing, kind of pass those into the center section here. If you guys are over here, pass them to your left. And again, ushers, would you just kind of go and grab up the cards? Who's ever on the end, grab up the cards that are collected, hold them up. The ushers are going to collect them and bring them back to me. I'm going to read a few of them. We're going to encourage each other today. But here's what we're going to do before then. Every Saturday night down in the lower level gymnasium, Lauren leads our Spanish worship service. And he continued with, he did the Hydrate series along with us, and he's got a couple of stories of how some of the members of our Spanish congregation are growing in their faith through time in God's Word. And so I asked him if he would come today and share a couple of those stories. So, Lauren, come share with us some of the good things that are happening in our Spanish congregation.
Every Sunday, you'll notice I'm taking notes because I re-preach the following Saturday, Pastor Jason's message, because we all want to be in the same area. And plus, it's great ideas, you know. And when we started Hydrate, you know, you got these metal, beautiful water bottles. And I took one of these, for example, in Agua Fina. That means fine water in Spanish, okay? And I took this, and as I spoke, I would drink the water, and I drank the water, and by the end of the message, I drank the last little bit of the water. And then I told all the people, I says, okay, you see it's empty? I don't get to drink water again till next Saturday night. How faint do you think I'll be? If this is my spiritual water and I don't have any more till next Saturday night, how many think I should do that? And no one agreed that I should do it. I said, but we're doing that spiritually. And it's so interesting the good effect this has had. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the change in some lives that it's had. I had several families that were separated, and their family unit had fallen apart. And since they came to Christ, their unit got put back together. But it's not counseling and all that that's going to make it work. It's the power of the living God. And I do something that every time we have a wedding for a Spanish couple, I give them a Bible. And they make an oath that say, when we have a disagreement, we're going to go to the Bible. And that's the authority of what is true and what is right. And if you can't find it in the Bible, get your Bible out and call me on the phone, and my counseling comes out of the book of God. And so they started doing family devotions. Now, like, give me an example. One family, only the wife knows how to read and the children. But the husband doesn't know how to read. He actually signs with a little X. But they all have the same Bible, and they get together and they do family devotions every day. Now, we have, this last year, we've had a couple of the families get remarried. Just miraculous things have happened. But to make this story short is, one of the families, the co-worker of the guy, his co-worker was telling him how his wife wanted to leave him, and he loves her so much, and he doesn't want to lose her. And so he invited his co-worker to church. And his co-worker came up to me, and he says, I want one of those big Bibles, the ones that have the explanations in them. I says, you want one? He says, yes. He says, see, my wife is planning on leaving me, and I don't want our family to break up. And it's worked for them. You know, well, I had one of those big Bibles that I was using on my pulpit, and I remember that became his Bible immediately. And they started doing it. And I go to their home when they start these devotions, and I show them how to, everybody take a verse and read it when you can read. And then everyone in the family finds their favorite verse. And if you pick the same one as someone else, that's fine. And then I show them how to take the highlighters. These are special ones. I put some out there by the Bibles. And these are special highlighters. They don't go through the paper because it's thin India paper. Okay, and I show them, highlight that one. Okay, and then do one more step. You take that verse that is so much touched you, you write it down. And you put it in your pocket. And you carry it with you because the devil wants to steal what God has given you. That's what I tell him anyway. That's true for me. And then during the day, you pull that out And you read it, and you read it. And sometimes for that to really sink in, it takes a couple of days. Now, yesterday, I woke up not wanting to get up. Oh, there's my wife back there. I said, I just don't want to get up. I'm discouraged. But then I got my Bible, and I started reading my Bible. And it was Proverbs chapter 30, because I always read a proverb, and then somewhere else in the Bible. Sometimes 1 John, stuff like that. And when I got to Proverbs 30, I really agreed with the guy. He says, who am I? I don't have the sense of a man and this and the other. And it's kind of discouraging. But then I got to verse 5. And that's the one I wrote down. And it says, every word of God proves true. So it's not my thoughts that are going to help me through today. Every word of God proves true. And then the second half of that verse, he says, he is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Wow. That verse just got me the energy to go. You know what I mean? You think, well, he's pastor. He doesn't feel discouraged ever. Well, I do sometimes. But that verse, and that it's still in my pocket. I pulled it out. Every word of God. This word is true. We had one guy that became a member of this church that had spent 3 years at Walla Walla. He was a meth addict, and he got in a lot of trouble. You know how I reset his brain? I put the Bible on CD, and he would listen to it all night. He put it on a repeat, random repeat, the book of Proverbs. And his life got turned around. He is down in Texas. He's working in a church and working on a farm. They let him work in church. His life is so turned around. I have another guy that can't read or write, and he's blind in one eye from an accident, an industrial accident, and he's really dim-sighted on the other side. And he comes to church, and he will hold his big Bible upside down. Now, I'm looking at that Bible and not wanting to grin because he says amen. And so I got him to get a smartphone. You know what a smartphone is? It's not for dumb people. It's for smart people. And I put an app on there with the Bible so he could listen to it in Spanish. And one of those apps that downloads the Bible to the phone in case he doesn't have internet. And he listens to the Bible day and night. He got rid of his TV because he didn't have time for it, and it was a distraction to him, he told me. I said, really? He says, yeah, and I got $200-some for it. It's one of those flat screens. He calls me every day to let me know where he's reading. And wherever we go someplace, he is a pain. Honey, it's Gustavo, okay? He calls me every day, wants to go eat. We go to a restaurant to eat, and he's witnessing to the waitress, and he's witnessing to the poor people that came to just eat quietly at a restaurant next to us. He's so full of the joy and the honor of God because he was such a lost person. Let me tell you, there's power. There's absolute life-changing power. And this Hydrate series that my pastor brought us through has been a blessing even if you can't read. And even if you don't have great teaching. See, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And let me tell you that I feel such a love for these people, and I want to see the life transformed. And I'm seeing lives transformed because God, through his word, he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I will give you a new mind. And it's right here. And I love Pastor for his leadership here, because when this started, I thought, oh, yeah, I got too many that can't read. And right now I'm working on a bilingual project of recording some stuff that Justin's going to help me put on CD. Because the word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. A family that prays together, stays together, you've heard that one, right? But let me tell you, a family that has devotions together gets back together. It's even more powerful. And God bless you for praying for our Spanish people along there. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And they call him Pastor Justin, you know. Jason. Yeah. You've been called a lot of names about him, right? And just continue, please. I just want to give you encouragement in this testimony that what God is doing is far greater than you can ever imagine. And his word is powerful. Thank you, Pastor.
God's working. It's good, isn't it? All right. I had a whole stack. We'd be here till like 2018 if I read them all. But here's a couple of them, okay? Here's what God is doing. We're going to celebrate what God is doing. It validates my behavior that needs to be top of mind for me every day. Reading every morning makes follow-through happen daily. Whew. Anybody ever struggle with follow-through on your intentions and to follow through? God is helping bring some follow-through. That's awesome. Here's a good one. When my husband and I started dating and got married, we would read the Bible together. He would read, we would discuss, we were close. Then, for years, we did not read the Bible together. We were not close. We have started to read the Bible together, and we have been closer than we have ever been. Woo! Somebody celebrate. There you go. See what happens? Just like God said to who was that we said earlier? Man, Joshua. Thanks. Sorry. You read it, you meditate on it, and you live it out. It changes your life. Check out, here's another one here. I have some health problems, and God has shown me how he can be my strength and get me through hard days when my pain is really bad. Praise God. God's teaching us. I've learned that I can spend time with a real and personal Savior. Since reading Peter's books over and over, I've experienced the Lord's presence. The scripture comes up during the day, and I've been able to share truth with others. Do you see how God's truth in us works and works? And that didn't come because of a worship service or a pastor preaching it. That came because someone spent some time with God in private, and it's spilling over to other people. Here's another one. The Lord has taught me to keep my thoughts captive. I've been able to change my negative thoughts for positive thoughts, and my depression has almost disappeared. I no longer live in shame and guilt. I am clothed in dignity. See, God changes how we think. When we allow God to change us, bring us from thinking errors and not truth to the truth, it changes our lives. Here's another one here. This one's great. Reading the Bible at night with my parents 3 times a week lets me see verses in a different point of view and have a greater understanding. You mean families are doing this together? Like you said, keeps families together, brings families back together, it changes our families as well. God is working. Quoting a verse here, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, ever our Father. Through my chronic pain and now a diagnosis of cancer, I need to give thanks for all things, not just the things I like or that are pleasant, but all things. Being in God's Word always gives me something to be thankful for despite my circumstances. That's God working. In a powerful, difficult situation. God is teaching me to wait on his timing, and he's building my faith. Whew, when we learn to wait on God's timing, not just our own timing, and not plow through things, life just works better, right? I'm trusting him for great things to come. And last one I'm going to read this morning. Lately, I've been starting my morning with prayer and reading. Reading the Word. This has changed how I act and respond throughout the day. No longer am I reacting to situations and temptations through my day. Rather, there has been a drive and a purpose to my day as I have started it with the foundation of Christ. You see, just like God promised to Joshua, when we make a habit of letting God's word pass by our lips regularly, and we meditate on what he's taught us regularly, and we're careful to live it out, he changes our lives. He helps us to prosper. He makes us successful. He redefines success and prospering in his terms, and life just works out better. If you and I continue to get into God's word, God's going to do some great things in your life. You see, I know you want to be strong. You want to be strong in life, and when it comes to your faith, you want to be strong, don't you? God says, get into my word, read it, meditate on it, live it out. You'll be strong. You want to thrive, not just settle for surviving. God says, you get into my word, I'll make you thrive, move beyond just a survival mentality. Read my word, meditate on it, think on it, and live it out. Good things will happen. You want to have a year that is better than the last year? Get into God's word. Amen. Let me just leave you with this little thought here. We become like the people we hang out with. We just know that, right? It's just like your mama always told you. You hang out with the wrong kind of people, they're going to influence you the wrong way. You become a person you don't want to become. In 2018, if we will continue to purposefully and intentionally spend time with God Himself, you will become more like the person you hang out with. And that's what we want, isn't it? Will you make a commitment, even now? Will you renew that commitment? That I'll no longer let distraction take me out and keep me distracted, but I'm going to spend time with the God of the universe, Bible open, heart open, mind open, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, I'm the student, you're the teacher. Jesus, I'm the apprentice, you're the master. Show me how to live. That'll lead you to the life you want. Bow your heads with me. Let's talk to God. Lord, we are so privileged to be taught by you. Lord, we are so privileged to spend time in your word, and that you would speak to each of us, knowing what each of us need to hear. So Lord, I pray, would you lead us to remain faithful, that the time and the place that you give to us to spend time with you, Lord, call us to those appointments, remind us of those appointments with you. Oh Lord God, would you flood our hearts with your truth and change our lives? God, our desire is that we would stay spiritually hydrated in you. And so I pray for all of us that we would make and maintain those commitments to spend time with you. And Lord, we just know that our lives are going to be better because of it. You lead. We'll follow, Lord Jesus. We're taking steps in your direction. In your name we pray all these things. Amen. Let's stand together today. Let's sing one more time. A song of victory. That says in Jesus Christ, we can live a victorious life that he has for us. Let's raise our voices. Let's sing one more time with everything we've got. Let's sing this from the bottom of our hearts, and let's go out.